Okay, so we're on top of days today. Let's take a look. So if you remember, yesterday we did the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds in the Mishnah that if you're Osek, Tarad Batir did the Mitzvah, then you're not Chayiv. So if on Shabbos, I forget today was Shabbos, or I forgot that carrying on Shabbos is prohibited, So then I carried lulav out. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, I'm not chayav a korban chatat because I'm tarot tiered mitzvah. All right, let's look at the bottom line. I'm in Malcolm Days 41. Be the bottom line. Everybody have it. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Yom Tov. So Rabbi, that's the halachah he said in the Mishnah. Yom Tov Rishon Shachag and so forth. So he says Amar Abaye on the top line of Membeis Ben Aleph Lo Shanu El Shlo Yatzabo. That's only he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah that day. So in other words, he was carrying the lulav. He forgot today was Shabbos, or he forgot carrying is prohibited. But he wasn't yotzei to the mitzvah of lulav yet. And then if he carried, then he's not chayav korban chatat for carrying. He says, aval yatzabo chayav. But if he'd already waved lulav that day, then he's no different than anybody else, and he's chayav. He's chayav. He already did the mitzvah that day, so he doesn't have any patur there. So the Gemara says, well, how are you going to do that? How do you carry out without being yotzei to the mitzvah? Once I lift up the lulav and the four minim, I'm yotzei to the mitzvah. So how do I carry the lulav without having to fulfill the mitzvah? In other words, right? In other words, how does that work? So the Gemara says on the second line, Amar Abaye Shahapachos. So Abaye says, Rabbi Yossi is talking about a situation where he wasn't yotzei to the mitzvah yet, and he turned the lulav upside down. So the tip of the lulav and the minim, everybody, or at least some of the minim are facing downwards, then I can't be yotzei to the mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to learn, though we didn't have this yet, on Daf Mem Hei, the Gemara is going to learn on the fifth line in Rashi, in Yotzim Behenel et Derech Kedilah Tani. They'll be Yotzim the Mitzvah if they're oriented the way they grow, which is upwards. Then the third line of the Gemara, Rav Amar, Fil Tei Mishto Hafako, Rav could say that you don't have to say that he flipped the Minim upside down, Hakamai Eskin Kod Shotsiyo B'Kli, that he brought it out with a Kli. He didn't actually hold on to the Minim. The meaning were in a kli, like a plate or something like that. He took the meaning out and carried them on Shabbos. He says, so therefore, since he's carrying the kli, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. You have to take it in your hands. So v'harabahu da'amar l'kicha gevar cher shmo l'kicha. But earlier in the Gemara you had on Daf Lamed Zayin, that was Friday's Daf, Rabbah says, l'kicha yidei devar cher shmo l'kicha. So that Rabbah l'shita to holds that if I wrap the meaning in a sudar, in a kerchief or like a garment, so that and then I wave it, I'm yotzei. So how can Rabbi here say that he took it out with the kli? And mainly, he's not yotzei. Rabbi himself holds l'kichay de'afer shma l'kicha. So the Gemara says, "Hani mila derek kavod." So Rabbi holds if it's with a kli, with a sudar, if it's derek kavod, it's kavodik type of item to have around the minim. So then in a chinami, that's called l'kicha. About derek bizai, I don't know. But if it's something which is like someone denigrating to the minim, then I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. So that would be the way Rabbah's answer is. The tearing out a kli is not derech kavod. So if Lu Yatsur on Shabbos, he took the minim, let's say he had a big tray, and he put the minim, all the four minim in the tray, and then he carried out the tray, and he hadn't been yotzei the mitzvah yet, but he wanted to be yotzei the mitzvah. So that would be the case, the way Rabbah understands the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi holds that Tarot Tur the mitzvah, and you're patur. Okay? Everybody okay so far? Any questions, comments to us, what we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let me...
First day when you walk to shul carrying your lulav and your estrog in a box,
right?
Is that a problematic then to get to shul and make a bracha because maybe you're yotzei?
All right. So first, one second.
Presumably, mitzvah.
So I've never seen anybody I've never seen that issue ever brought up in halacha. So I have to, the kichai, you're walking to shul, and where do you have the minim? You have the minim where? It's on Yontiv. So you have the minim. Okay, you have the minim, and the minim are where? They're in
your container, and you're in their bags.
Yeah, in their bags. But you're not actually holding the minim, right? In other words, there's a difference if I hold the minim, and if I date the bar ahead, that's what he's talking about.
Probably you said on a tray, right?
Yeah, I said, right, that was derech bizayon, but in other words, So, all right. Okay. So let me look into it. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. So we're back on Daf Mem Beis. Okay. So, all right. So now, Amar Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna says, now, the way the Masechta Gemara brought it down is the Marshal says, Rav Huna's going to quote Rabbi Yossi, but he didn't actually hear Rabbi Yossi say this. He's making a logical extension for Rabbi Yossi's din. So, Amar Rav Huna, Omer Ya Rabbi Yossi, that the Tana Rabbi Yossi would say, Olada Ov Shemtei Ben Agapayim. If you have the Olada Ov and the way it comes out to Pshat Rashi, the Olada Ov got mixed in with the Korban Chatada Ov. The Olada Ov is totally burnt on Zbeach. The Chatada Ov parts are eaten by the Kohanim. So Olada Ov Shemtei Ben Agapayim, Uchsavur Chatada Ov, he thought it's Chatada Ov, but Achlo, and he ate it, Hatur. So he's talking about a Korban Me'ila. He, the person who eats it, would be patur from a korban me'ila. So it means like this, that he normally, if he, benefits from hekdesh properly, so you bring a korban me'ila, you have to bring a korban me'ila. So here in the base of Mikdash, with the on the mizbeach, so the olada of is brought upstairs and the chatada of is brought downstairs. The chatada of is brought out the southwest corner. The Olad Ov is on the southeast corner, but upstairs. But when things get too busy on the southeast corner, they go to the southwest corner. So it means upstairs they have the Korban on Olad, and they're doing Malika on it. They're doing Malika with the nail. That's the way they're shechting it. Not doing Shkita with a knife, but with the nail. So there's an Olad Ov that got mixed in with the Chatara Ov. So he, the Kohen, thought it's Chatara Ov, and it was really an Olad Ov, and he improperly ate it. That's the case. So Rav Huna says that the Tana Rabbi Yossi will hold that coin is not chayav korban me'ila because he was tarot tira to the mitzvah. He thought he's doing a mitzvah, but he made a mistake. It was just like you're not chayav korban katat on Shabbos when I'm taking out the lulav, I get for tumult, so to hear you're not chayav korban me'ila. That's what Rav Huna says. So let's see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, my Tamash Balan. What is Rav Huna teaching me? The Tabad Bar Mitzvah Patur, it's just like a rebranding of the same thing we had before. The person was for tumult, he thought he's doing a mitzvah. I know, that's the same as the Mishnah. Why do we need Rav Huna to teach me anything? So, Ma'u Tatema Hatam, who is the Tabad Bar Mitzvah Patur, and the Abad Mitzvah. So, we say like this, look, over in the case of the Mishnah, he was Tobad Bar Mitzvah, but ultimately he did the mitzvah. In other words, he ended up carrying Lulav, but then he waved Lulav. So, he did, at the end of the day, he did the mitzvah. But here, he never did the mitzvah. Don't forget, he did the Aveira. So he says, aim low. So I would have thought that maybe Rabbi Yossi does not extend it there. So Kamash Malan. So it is extended. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, give me another 8 lines and I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, Meitve, on this we ask Akasha. So again, so Rav Huna is extending Rabbi Yossi's klal about Tarot Tir to the mitzvah, he's extending that to a case where I never did the mitzvah. That's what the case is extending it to. So Meifei, on this way, it's Kasha from the following Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hashokhet at a Tamid Sh'inu Mavukar Kil Chato, B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat. If a person, a Kohen, presumably, he checks the Korban Tamid that wasn't Mavukar Kil Chato, wasn't examined. So the Korban Tlayim would be inspected 4 days before the Korban Tamid would be brought. They inspected the animals, and they had a special lishka, like a chamber, the base of Mikdash, they inspected lambs. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds that if you would take a lamb that was not inspected, even if afterwards, and then shecht it, and even if afterwards it turned out that it didn't have a mum, it's still pasul. That's the way he would hold. So here he says a case, Rabbi Yossi says, a person shechts the Korban Tamid that was not inspected Tilchato b'Shabbat. On Shabbat, he's chayav b'chatat, but tzarich tamid acher. He has to bring a different korban tamid. So again, so if he's doing the proper avodah on the base of Mikdash, so there are many avodah that have a lot of malachot involved with them, but this, he's not chayav for that's the mitzvah of the base of Mikdash. But he's not doing it, then he's just doing an aveira. So here, I would have thought, the question is like this, I would think that he's tarut here to the mitzvah. He's so far tumult doing a mitzvah, he checks, in essence, the wrong animal, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says that he's chayav. According to Rav Huna, if he's tarotir to the mitzvah, even if he doesn't do the mitzvah, he's patur. But here we see in the Braisa, not this way. Here we say he's tarot, and he didn't do the mitzvah, but Rav Yossi says he's chayav korban chatat. So Amarle, so it's not clear who said to who with this whole situation here. Well, he says, Amarle bar minadahi, except for that case. I mean, that case don't bring into the play. Why? The itmar Allah, because we stated concerning that braisa, Amar Shmuel bar Achitoy, Amar Hamnuna Saba, Amar Yitzchak bar Ashan, Amar Huna, Amar Rav, don't shev yom lishka she'enim nebukarim. That he brought the lamb from a lishka of animals that were not inspected. So there's only so much we do with you with taratir bar mitzvah. In other words, at a certain point in time, in other words, like let's say on Shabbos, if I carried a broom and I say I thought it was a lulav, so that wouldn't cut it, right? In other words, I think I have a lulav, it's kick out the broom. So this, you're still chayav. So here, look at Rashi, the first very wide line downstairs. Milishka she'inam levukarin. The answer to with bar mitzvah. He says shebeklayin shebelishka zu eno tarud. It's not for tumult with those lambs. Shenon omdim lahakrav liot chared alihem atayikrivu. In other words, they were never supposed to be brought to begin with. And so he says ba'af chareded zman hatamid lo shaycha hacha. And even like you can't say he's so for tumult, he's worried that the time is running out for the korban tamid shekarov lemezid hu. In other words, he's more karov lemezid. He just was like totally negligent from which chamber he's bringing it. That's the way Rashi takes it. So it means that Torah Tiri Mitzvah has got to be like somewhat, you know, some semblance of doing the mitzvah. Here, if he's taking the lambs from the wrong chamber, that's too far afield. Okay, now, all right, that's the end of the piece. Now, the only thing is, Yosef, are you still there, Yosef? I know you're in the cyber world. Yosef, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so I know you asked me the other day about you know, the shofar and the Megillah. If I would carry that on Shabbos. So Yosef asked me that let's say a person would carry the shofar on Shabbos today. Let's say Rosh Hashanah would call it on Shabbos. So we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Let's say he mistakenly would take the shofar out. Would he be chayav for like a korban chatat? So I said to Yosef that there's no mitzvah at all, like zero mitzvah to do it. So here though we see that if you're tarot here to mitzvah, I still think it's a proper chiluk, because in all of these cases, even in the case of the Gemara, there is a mitzvah to be done that day. The case we had with the, you have the olada of and the chatata of, there is mitzvahs to be done that day. Here, to my way of thinking, with the shofar, there's zero mitzvah to do that day, even though on a derisa level there is. But I'm not 100% sure. That's the way I'm thinking. All right. Who's got other questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let's go on. Everybody good? Okay. Everybody mute themselves. Okay. Let's keep moving. Okay. We're at the next mission. Okay. So, Manitin, Mikaveli Shamiya Benamiya Balo Machsira Tolomayim B'Shabbat. So a woman, a wife, or a mother can take the lulav from her son and from her husband on Yontif and stick it back in the water on Shabbos. So this is talking about when they were still waving the lulav on Shabbos. And we'll come to see that where we learned the first stage was that where they said that if the first day Yontif is on Shabbos, you still wave the lulav. But if Shabbos is another day of the week, then they wouldn't wave the lulav in the base of Mikdash. We'll see the different stages they went through with all of these zeros, okay? So, but the wife can stick the lulav back in the water on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Shabbat Mazirin. On Shabbos, you stick it back in the water. The Yom Tov Mosif, and on Yantiv, you can even add a little water. And the idea is here, like tircha, like doing extra effort. So on Yantiv, you can add a little water. On Chol HaMoed, you can even change the water. In other words, stick it back in the water, but change the water. So the Gemara takes it that there's no, I was bothered why there's not like a malacha of Zoraya with this, but the Gemara takes it that's not an issue. And you can stick it back in. It's just that we don't want to make the person, you know, do tircha that's not needed for Shabbos or Yantiv. But you more leeway on Yantiv than you do on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, Katana yudelanane achayav lulav. A katan who knows how to wave lulav, he's obligated lulav. It means for chinuch. So Rashi says that sounds like the father is obligated to teach the son how to wave lulav. All right. Whose question comes to anything we did so far?
All right. So if someone brings me flowers on Shabbat, I could put it in the water?
Say again, repeat.
If someone brings me flowers on Shabbat, can I put it in the water?
I really would not recommend it. I don't know. I need to do more Ian on this. I would not recommend sticking more flowers in the water on Shabbos. I do need to be my eye on this. So I got a lot of homework here today. So what was the first home? The first thing Michael asked me before, what did you ask me, Michael?
Carrying your Arba Minim.
Carrying the Arba Minim and sticking the flowers in water. I wouldn't recommend sticking flowers in water on Shabbos.
But how is that different than this?
It's a good question. I was bothered by the same question. Let me look into it. Let me look into it. Okay. All right, let's go further. Now, the Gemara says, why is the Tana even teaching me that the wife can stick the things in the water? We think it's so obvious. Pshita. So Ma'azim Ahov Ishlabat Yubahi, Emelot Kabel. I might have thought since a woman is not mitzuva to wave the lulav, so for her, it's mukhsa. In other words, the lulav is like a piece of wood. It's mukhsa to Kamash Malan. So Kamash Malan, the way Rashi takes it, look at Rashi, the fifth wide line, and he says, came into the fifth very wide line, came through Elan Tilat Anashim, Torakliyalav, and Luchab Tilat Lukol. Since the man is mitzuva, so it's not moksa. Then in the alternative, but it's mash from here that, like, I don't know, they had a whole shtickle Torah in the art scroll. They said it's mash from here that the woman, if she would wear lulav, that she can't make a bracha. In other words, like, because even though the woman's not obligated, but we say she could do the mitzvah, but Rashi doesn't say it that way. So, but you could say they had in the art scroll that Rabbeinu Tam holds that women do make a bracha on the mitzvahs, even though they're not obligated on them. So within Rabbeinu Tam, you could say that the woman has, you know, some connection with the mitzvah as well. But anyway, the bottom line is that the lulav is not considered mukzah for her. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Katana yudelin aneya, a katan knows how to wave, ten rabbanan. Katana yudelin aneya chayav lulav. A katan who knows how to wave the lulav is chayav in lulav. And we'll talk about it more shortly. Lehitatev chayav tzitzit. He knows how to wrap himself in the tzitzis, so he's obligated in the tzitzis. Lehita teif sounds that way, but it means to wear tzitzis. That's what I would say. But lehita teif does sound like a larger garment. Certainly sounds that way. Lishmor tefillin, if he knows how to guard the tefillin, and Rashi says that he's not going to bring them to the bathroom. Aviv lo keach lo tefillin. Here the father will buy tefillin for him. And on the side is a blurb that's from Rabbi Shai Pick Berlin on the Ein Mishpat near Mitzvah. He says, Gabi tzitzit lo nachat lishtim lo keach, the mistami yesh lo talit. In other words, by tzitzit, it doesn't say lo keach, the father has to buy garments for him. In other words, they would wear four-cornered garments, Bizman Chazal. So it's teaching me that the katam, when he knows how to be mitatev, so he should, you know, have tzitzit on it. Gabi lulav nami yechol atzeit lulav oshalvi, but lulav he could be oshalvi with his father's lulav. By tefillin, we figure the father needs to buy him a pair of tefillin. But okay, back in the Gemara, yodei ledaber, when a katan knows how to speak, aviv lomdo Torah, the father is obligated to teach him Torah. Ukriyat Shema. So the Gemara interjects. So that's the Braisa. The Gemara breaks off from the Braisa. Torah maihi. What Torah does the father teach him? Let's say, I don't know, he's 3 or 4. So Amram Nuna Torah tzilan Moshe Moshe Kilad Yaakov. He'll teach him the Pasuk. Torah Tzibalana Moshe, or Shakilat Yaakov, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us is an inheritance to the congregation of Jacob. Kriyat Shema Ma'ihi, what does it mean to teach him Kriyat Shema? In other words, like the whole thing? The Gemara says Pasuk Rishon. In other words, you teach him the Pasuk Rishon. So you're teaching a child, so the first thing you want to teach him are those Pesukim. Chai is still with us. Okay, so Torah Tzibalana Moshe and Shema Yisrael. Back to the Braisa. Hayadei L'shmor Gufo. If a child knows how to guard his body, meaning he knows not to, the way Rashi brings it down, he says around the sixth very wide line, he knows not to touch anything right. That's tame, not to carry anything that's tame, not to the oel mace. I did the shmore gufo, ochlin al gufo taro. So if I know taro touch his body, but I know this child knows how to guard himself properly, so that I can still eat the taro. Lishmort yadav, if he knows how to guard his hands from touching tuma. So again, there's exerid rabbanon that yadayim are shniot l'tuma, or that there's default that hands didn't shame the tuma. But if the child knows how to, like, that when he washes his hands and not to touch anything, ochlin al yadav taharot. So then we could eat the taharot that he touched. He could eat the taharot that he touched. Hayodeli Shayel, if he knows how to respond to questions, Bershuti Yachid Sveikotami. So the Bershuti Yachid, any Sapik Tuma with him is Tami. In other words, like, did you touch this? Did you touch that? Not. So he answers, I'm a Supak, whether I touch or not. So Sveikotami. Bershuti Rabim Sveikotawar. In Bershuti Rabim Sveikotawar. That's something din that we learn in the Sechet Sota from the Sota. In other words, the Sota is Tmeya, because we're a Masupak that she, you know, was, you know, what she did something with this guy in private. Okay, now, Hayodei Lefros Kapav, if he knows how to, if he's a Kohen, and he knows how to, like, spread his hands, Kolken Lo Truma Veda Goranot. So, Rashi takes it that it's, here's, the way Rashi learns, this case is different than the other cases. Rashi learns that here we're talking about a child that got to puberty. That's what the way Rashi takes it. So, and that he's already duchening in the tzibur, chokan lo truma vid agoranot. So we can give him truma from the granary, meaning we don't mind that people see that we're giving him the truma. The in other words, you can't give to a cherishot mekatan, but I could send it privately to somebody if I know that he, in other words, I have this child. So I can't give it to him publicly because I'm afraid that people will think, you know, they don't know that he knows how to guard the truma, but I can send it privately. But if he's old enough to duchen in public, then I can give him the truma publicly. It's not a problem with that. Now, the way Tosos learns is that, but the difficulty with Rashi's here, like, teaching this case different than all the other cases. There's the other cases where he's still a katan, and here the way Rashi's learning, he's basically a gadol, that he's already got to Habish Tesaro, he has two pubic hairs, just 1 minute. So Tosfos learns that it means that indeed he's still a katan. And it means, though, that he duchens together with adults. In other words, so he duchens with adults, and at that point in time, I can give him the truma publicly. That's the way Tosfos takes it. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause, okay? He says, turn page, the top line number days. Hayodei l'shchot, if a kata knows how to do shchita properly, ochlin m'shchitato, we can eat from his shchita. So Rashi says, on top line, Rashi, la'ameni adab shchita, he knows how to like train his hands, like focus his hands for shchita, even though he's not expert in the hilchot shchita, those if I take out a yoreh day, he doesn't want to answer the questions, but he knows how to go through to do the shchita. So remember when we did pulling, remember this difference between mumta and muksak. Remember there's the book learning and the actual on hands learning. So now the Gemara breaks off. Amrav Huna Vushkadol Meda Gabab. So Huna says, yeah, but that's only if a gadol is standing by him. And Rashi says on the third white line, Rashi Shahabalo Daras. So the gadol is standing over the katan. He sees the katan shach. He sees the katan didn't do shihiya. He didn't stop during the shchita. He didn't press down during the shchita. So he did everything good. Okay, now, the second line in the Gemara, Yechol, now we're back in the Brisa. Yechol Echol Kizayit Dagan, if he's old enough to eat a kizayit of grain, and grain can be one of the five grains, Marchikin Misoto Mimei Raglav Arba Amo. So you have to distance yourself, means like for Kriyat Shema, from his soa, from his, you know, waste product, and Mimei Raglav is the water that he passes, Arba Amo. Amrav Chista, because it says that's provided he can eat the kizayit dagan, kizayit b'chdeyach l'prat. You've had this before by mitzvahs. Here you have it in a different halacha. In other words, that's the key for achila. So he says amar avchia braid rav yeva ubegadol, but he was an adult, like an older person. And even if he can't eat the pras, let's say he's an older person, he can't eat so much at once. So he says he still have to be marked from insoa. It says a person increases knowledge, he increases pain. The way the Gemara is darshening out the pasuk, it's like Yosef Machov, in other words, like his waste product, Yosef Dot, when he's older and he's more das, Yosef Machov, his waste product is still, you know, full-fledged waste product. All right, let me do four more lines, and then we'll take a pause. We'll take some questions, okay? If the katan knows how to eat, or he's able to eat a kezayit of roasted meat, and roasted meat, every food is different. So, but if a katan can eat a kezayit salim, shoftin alav in a Pesach, we can check the, meaning he can be one of the people who's registered for the Korban Pesach. Shneimar ish lefi ochlo, eat a person according to what he eats. So the katan can eat, he can be registered, but you have to register ahead of time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shechol levarer achila. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough that he can eat a kezayit salim. He has to be able to be mevarer achila. He has to like choose what's good food, what's bad food. So ketzad, so how do we figure out whether he's at that age? Notin lo tzror v'zorko egos v'notlo. He's old enough, you know. Takes a, you give him a rock, he throws it away. Egos, he takes it, he eats it, and that would be enough to work it out with that. Okay, now just hold on 1 second. And we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, just 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. We just do some little piece here, and then we'll open up the floor. All right, now, among the things we mentioned before, we said katan ayudilanane, it's very apropos, timely. We're coming up to Sukkot now. So katan ayudilanane, the katan knows how to wave lulav, so the father's obligated to get him a lulav. So now he says here, the mission of the Brisa state of minors kibbutz nanuim, the waving of lulav is obligated to the mitzvah lulav by virtue of the mitzvah chinuch, rabbinic obligation of the father to train his minor child to perform mitzvot. Tosfos in Erechin says that a father is not obligated to purchase lulav for his son because he can allow the son to use his lulav after he completes the mitzvah. Tosfos infers from this, the infers is from the fact that the Brisa does not say a father is obligated to purchase lulav for his son, as it states regards tefillin. So by tefillin, the Brisa said, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. By lulav, it doesn't say aviv lokeach lo lulav. It just says lulav. It just says lulav. What's the language? It says, It says, katan dilananea chayav lulav. He's chayav in lulav. So he says, immediately says the child's obligation is to lulav. We learned above on Daf Lamed that on the first day of Sukkot is a requirement of lachem, which precludes one from performing the mitzvah with a bar lulav. The Gemara Mem Aleph says, if one wishes to use his friend's lulav on the first day of Sukkot, it must be formally given to him matan amana lahachzir. The Gemara Mem Vav states that one should not give the lulav to a katan on the first day of Sukkot prior to performing the mitzvah himself. This is because a minor lacks the legal capacity to return the gift, as he cannot execute a hakna, a transfer of ownership. So Chazal teaches, the poskim teaches, a katan can acquire an object. He can make a kinyan, but he can't be machne. Can't. So don't give your lulav to a katan because you run into problems. Thus, the original owner will not be able to perform the mitzvah with lulav because it is no longer legally his. On remaining days of Sukkot, however, there's no requirement of lachem, and one may use a bar lulav. Shulchan Aruch indicates that in Chisla Aretz, where the second day of Yantiv is treated with all the stringencies as of the first day, the requirement of lachem applies even on the second day of Sukkot. According to the resident of Chisla Aretz, should not gift his lulav to a minor on the first day of Sukkot, even after performing the mitzvah, because the minor will not be able to transfer ownership of lulav back to the original owner for the second day's mitzvah. Okay, so now we think it's going like this. So the katan has to waive the lulav. On Yantiv, though, he's got to own the lulav. So I'm like, it's sort of like I'm in a catch 22. If I give him my lulav, then I can't be yosef the mitzvah anymore. So we assume right now, and we'll see, that the Gemara is talking in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day Yantiv. So I could be yosef the lulav on the day of Yantiv. Then when I'm done with the lulav, I can give it to my child, and I say, here's the lulav. I can have the child acquire the lulav. And then after that, he'll give it back to me, and I won't own it, but I don't have to own it for the rest of Sukkot. That would be a way to proceed. But in Chutz La'aretz, we can't do that because we have the first 2 days of Yantiv. Now, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch and codified law of our Mishnah states that when a child is old enough to wave the lulav properly, his father should purchase the lulav for him, thus indicating, contrary to Tosfos, that the father is obligated to purchase the lulav for his son. So we're going with the Mahalach, the father is not obligated to buy the lulav. But when the Mechaber is posketing that you do have to buy the lulav for the son, the Taz suggests Shulchan Aruch merely means that it's praiseworthy for father to purchase the lulav for his son so as to enable him to wave his lulav together with the congregation during Hallel and thus perform the mitzvah in an exemplary manner. However, if it is difficult to purchase an actual lulav, one need not purchase the lulav for his son. Okay, that's the way the Taz says it. Alternatively, the Meir La'olam suggests that only in Eretz does the Brice accept the father from purchasing the lulav for his son, because the father can gift his lulav to his son if performing the mitzvah himself. In Chutz La'aretz, however, gifting the lulav to one's son on the first day is not recommended, because the father must retain ownership of the lulav for the second day's mitzvah. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, in addressing the residents of Chutz La'aretz, states that the father must purchase the lulav for his son, so the son can properly perform the mitzvah on the first and second day of Sukkot with a lulav that legally belongs to him, not with lulav borrowed from his father. Okay, that's the way it was going. Now, many authorities disagree with this ruling and maintain that the rabbinic mitzvah of chinuch does not require a minor to use a lulav which is legally his own. They hold that even on the first day of Sukkot, it's acceptable for a father to lend his son a lulav for the mitzvah, even though it lacks the condition of lachem. It gets into the issue, what is chinuch? In other words, and it also, let's say, you know, like it's going to come out, like I have to, when I get him the minim, like I'm going to, I need to buy minim that are kosher minim, right? I can't buy treif minim and say, this is chinuch to you. I have some kosher minim. So what is chinuch? So does chinuch include owning the lulav, which is what an adult would be required to do? All right, now, we'll just do one more thing here. He says, okay. All right. Can you pause for a minute? Because I'm doing a lot and I'll do a little bit more, but who's got questions so far? Ruth, you want to say something?
No, I was just going to ask you, when you read, if you could just slow down a bit.
English or Hebrew?
The English, the commentary that you have.
All right. Anybody else?
Can a katan make something hefker?
That's interesting because it depends how you understand hefker. Is hefker like a silik?
Can he relinquish ownership? Can he give up ownership?
Is it a silik rishus or is it transferring to the rishus of hefker? So I think they say that's the difference in yeyush and hefker. Yeyush is the katan makes yeyush its ownerless. Hefker is putting it in a certain state. So I would think that a katan cannot be mafki or something, but he could make yeyush on something.
So if he makes yeyush, can the father reacquire it?
So if he makes yeyush on it, so then I think the father, then I would think that the father could acquire it. That's what I would
think. That's a solution.
But no. In other words, yeyush means that the person gives up hope of getting something back. He loses it. He makes his yeyush. In other words, so it's not a solution. In other words, I can't say I make yeyush on it. Yeyush is a state of mind. Hefker is something I transfer. I can be mafkir my property. I can be mafkir it. I don't think a katan can be mafkir something.
If the katan throws something in the garbage, what is it? See, it still owns it, you mean? If he throws it, it's just a robin.
Well, that's a good question. Let's say the katan, he has something, he throws. So I don't know. I don't know if the katan's act is anything. In other words, I don't know if the katan's acts are legally effective. I mean, the metzias is everybody's going to take it, but I don't know if it, halakhically that's really like the act. And you know, I'm not sure. Okay, now,
the tefillin case. The kid has 9 or 10 years old. You have to buy a pair of tefillin.
Okay, I'll talk about it in a minute. Let me finish with lulav and then we'll come to tefillin. Okay. Yeah, Poskim question why the age of Perkinuch begins when the child knows how to wave lulav. Since the main component of the mitzvah is mirror.
This is what I was talking about slowly.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot to do here, though, and I can't go so slowly because then we won't get out of here tonight.
Only so that we can grasp what you're saying.
I'll summarize it in a minute. Just be patient, okay? So Poskim question why the age for Perkinuch begins when the child knows how to wave the lulav. Since the main component of the mitzvah is to merely take the four species and the waving is not necessary for the fulfillment of the mitzvah, why shouldn't a chinuch begin when the child knows how to lift the four species? So the mitzvah is to take the four minim. The mitzvah isn't per se to wave the four minim. So why does the braisa say when the child knows how to wave? It should be like when the child holds on to it. And the Siv explains that the obligation to educate children in mitzvot means that we must teach them to do the mitzvah with all the details involved in properly fulfilling the mitzvah. The reason is that we want to train the child so that when he becomes an adult, he will be able to fulfill the mitzvah in the way it is supposed to be fulfilled, including the non-essential parts of the mitzvah. Thus, we do not begin to educate children in the fulfillment of the mitzvah lulav until they are mature enough to wave lulav, since that will be part of the way it will be fulfilled when they are adults. So in other words, it's not enough to say, well, the child lift the four minim. Unless he knows how to do the whole shebang, that's the chinuch to do everything. The requirement, please mute yourself, okay? The requirement, however, only includes those parts of the mitzvah that are obligatory. Parts of the mitzvah considered optional and not include the mitzvah chinuch. For example, when purchasing a lulav for a child, one must be certain the lulav is minimally valid for use for the mitzvah, but there is no obligation to purchase a lulav that is extra beautiful, muhudar. Okay, now that's it. Did you get it, Ruth? I did it so slowly. I explained everything. Did you get that or not?
Perfect. It was perfect.
Okay, now let me go to Yosef. Yosef's asking about tefillin. So the Gemara says that when a child knows how to guard the tefillin, so we buy from. So Yosef said so it would be like age 10 or something like that. So it means that the child has to know how to guard the tefillin means, you know, like even when he's wearing the tefillin, you know, like he shouldn't pass gas with it, other things. We assume that a child is not ready for that until right before bar mitzvah. That's what we assume. So that's the way. That's why we only begin like the trial over a few months or a month before the bar mitzvah. He puts on tefillin, but that's the assumption we make. Okay, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's go on to the next mishnah and next parak. Okay, Hadron Lach Lulav Gazal Yeshkot. Everybody, you just finished three parakim in the second sukkah. Now I want to the fourth parak. Okay, so the mishnah says Lulav Arava Shisha V'Shiva. The mitzvah Lulav and Arava. Arava is in the base of Mikdash. Every day they would take the aravot and circle the mizbeach. These were big aravot, they're 11 amot in height, big aravot. He says, so those mitzvahs are sometimes 6 days, sometimes 7 days. A halil va simcha shmona. He says the recitation of full halil and simcha means like eating the basar of the shlamim, from the shlami simcha. That's 8 days. Sukkah v'nisa kamayim shiva. The mitzvah of sukkah, yeshiva sukkah in Eretz Israel. And Yisrach HaMayim, the water libation, is 7 days. The Khalil Chamisha V'Shisha, the Khalil blowing the flute, is 5 and 6 days. It means like this. The Gemara is going to explain. Lulav and Arava are 6 and 7. So when the first day of Yontif comes out on a Shabbos, you're going to take Lulav for 7 days. But Arava you won't take on the first day, though, if it's that way. But if the 7th day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rava, is on a Shabbos, which can't happen in our Luach, so then we would take the Arava even on Shabbos. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, so Lulav I don't take on Shabbos, but when the first day of Yontif is on Shabbos, I do take it in the base of Mikdash. That was one stage they had. And Arava, I don't take on Shabbos either, but when Hoshana Rabbah is on Shabbos, then I do take it. So there's Lulav Arava, Shisha B'Shiva. So some years, Lulav and Arava are 6 days, and some years are 7 days. Then Halal and Simchar are Shmona Yamin, all 8 days of Sukkot, recite the whole Hallel, and you eat the Basar Shlamim. He says, Sukkah v'Nisa Chamayim Shiva. So the Sukkah you sit in for 7 days, and Nisa Chamayim you do all 7 days of Sukkot, the base of Mikdash. A Chalil Chamisha V'Shisha. The Chalil is the flute that relates to Simcha Beta Shoiva. So the flute, I'm not going to blow on Shabbos, I'm not going to blow on Yantiv. So if you have 1 day Yantiv, 1 day Shabbos, so then Chalil will be 5 days. If the Shabbos coincides with Yantiv, the first day Yantiv is a Shabbos, so it'll be 6 days. Now, the Gemara, the Brisa breaks down. Lulav Shiva Ketzad. So Lulav is 7 days. How will it work that Lulav is 7 days? So Yom Tov Rishon Shalchah Shkolot B'Shabbat, if the first day of Yantiv coincides with Shabbos, Lulav Shiva. Then Lulav is Shiva. So again, in Din Torah, Usmachtam Zayin Shem Alkechem Shivat Yamin. The Mitzvah of the Torah is, in the base of Mikdash, you're going to take Lulav for 7 days. The Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, or according to the Rabbim outside Yerushalayim, you'll only take it on 1 day. That's the original institution of the mitzvah. Okay, somebody is not muted, and I have to mute you all. All right. Now, so Lulav Shiva, so then they made a takana, a gzeira. They made a gzeira that when the first day of Yontif is on a Shabbos, you'll take the Lulav. But when any other day of Yantiv is on a Shabbos, so in the base of Mikdash, they're not going to take the Lulav. Okay, that's the first stage. So the Gemara says, Lulav Shiva, so he says, Yom Tov Rishon Shachash Lulav Shabbat Lulav Shiva, B'Shar Kali Yamim Mishisha. But all the other years, any other day of the week that it comes out, would be 6 days. Arava Shiva Ketzad, so Arava is 7 days. Arava means they would take these long Aravot and go around the Mizbeach. So how is it 7 days? Yom HaShvishal Aravah Shekhal Yom HaShabbat. It means if Hoshana Rabbah would come out on a Shabbos. So in our Luach, it can't come out on a Shabbos. But if Hoshana Rabbah would come out on a Shabbos, when they were Kaddish HaPiriyah, it could have come out on a Shabbos. So Aravah Shiva, then it'll be 7 days. Ushar Kol Yomim Shisha. All other years, there'll be 6, because I'm not going to take the Aravah on Shabbos. Now, Mitzvah Lulav Ketzad. So now, tell me, the Mitzvah is going to elaborate. What's the Mitzvah Lulav? It's the first day of Yantiv. It's on a Shabbos. How do they do this? Yantiv Rishon Shachak Shkol B'Shabbat. If the first day of Yantiv is on a Shabbos, Molochim will bring in the Harabayit. They bring the Lulavim to Harabayit before Shabbat. Vachazanim Mitkabel Mehem, like the Shamashim, the attendants receive the Lulavim from them. V'Shozron Tam Agabi Itzdaba. And they lay them on top of these benches. Like they had these benches all around Harabayit. They lay on the benches. V'Hazakenim Anichim Shalem B'Lishka. The elder people would put their lulavim and a shrogan presumably as well in a lishka, so they didn't want to get like with a hustle bustle tomorrow with the whole thing. Umalav dimotam, they would teach everybody lomar to say komisha magil liyado harehu lo b'matana. In other words, they say whoever gets whatever lulav, I'm giving it to matana, not lahachzir. It's a little bit like when they graduate from West Point, everybody throws their cap up in the air and it lands. You get it, somebody else's cap. So it means everybody understands that it's matana, not lahachzir. Or not lahachzir. It's a matana, not lahachzir. It's a matana. L'machar, mashkim nubayim, next morning everybody gets up. V'chadazanim zorkin otam lefneihem. The chazanim, the attendants, throw the lulav in front of them. V'machachin umakin ishut chaveiro. They would grab it and everybody would hit each other, like, I guess, to assume the lulav him. U'ksharu beit hin shmalu de sakana. When the Bezdin saw that it's not working out too well this way, so he says, hikinu shehek bolachad v'chad no tal beitro. They said, you know what? We're making a different stage. So stage one, they would take it 7 days, you know, all the time. Then stage two, they only take it 7 days when the first day of Yom Tov is on a Shabbos, but they would take it in the Beis Hamikdash. Stage three, they said that when the first day of Yom Tov is on a Shabbos, everybody's going to take the lulav in the house. Don't take the lulav, don't come to the Beis Hamikdash and wave it here. You'll take it in your house. So, now, again, if it's the first day of Yantiv, so everybody's chayiv midoraisa, wherever the bayit is, wherever the bayit would be. All right. Now, let me do a few lines for Gemara. Any questions, comments to us, anything we did so far?
What was stage two?
Again, stage one is you're taking lulav 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
Stage two, if you're not going to take it 7 days, you're not going to take it on Shabbos, unless Shabbos is day one. Otherwise, you're not going to take it on Shabbos.
You can take it at home or you can take it to...
No. All right, let's go again slowly. So they said, stage two, they said, on Shabbos, you're not going to take lulav.
Right.
But if the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos, you will take lulav.
We will take it.
Okay? Yeah. Then they were taking the Beis Hamikdash and everybody was you know hitting each other. So they said everybody should take it in the house. All right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go further. Now, let's look at the Gemara's three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't understand what the problem is with taking lulav on Shabbos. So Gemara Amai, Tiltul Ba'alma, who blitzi Shabbat. The Gemara thinks the problem with lulav is the problem of muksa. That's what we're thinking. It's the muksa issue. But muksa, I don't know, if they had a shtickle Torah in the art scroll, they said, they quoted the Ruchlaner, that muksa is in the Rabbanan, but the way some Rishonim understand it, it's just that there should be like a chilek for people that, you know, today is Shabbos, not to prevent people from doing a malacha d'oraisa. So there's really a machlokah rishonim between the rabbim and the raibid. One holds that it is a getter for hotzah, but this isn't going with that. And saying that being the case, so when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it makes sense that it'll push away the din of this muksa. So amai tiltu ba'amu b'lidchi Shabbat, am a rabbah, so Rabbah says, no, the reason you don't want to take a lulav on Shabbat, we're afraid that the person's eagerness to wave the lulav, he'll go to a baki who will show him how to lulav. Rashi says, the bottom line, nanuo birachato, it'll teach him how to do the nanuim, how to do the different wavings, or to how to say the bracha. He doesn't know what bracha is doing. And he says, then he'll carry for Amod and the Rishud Rabbim, and Rashi says it would also be from Rishud Yach Rishud Rabbim, but there are a lot of cases where it's not that case. So it's for Amod and Rishud Rabbim. Behind the time of the shofar, and that's the reason we don't blow shofar on when it's on Shabbat. Behind the time of the Megillah, that's why the reason when it means in Yerushalayim they have this where you have Shushan Purim or Bizman Chazal. So Purim when the Kaddish Al Pi Re'iyah, so Purim could come out on Shabbat, the 14th of Adar. But in Yerushalayim, the 15th can come out on Shabbat, the Purim Meshulash, but they don't read Megillah there because they're afraid that people carry it. So the Gemara says, Yahaki Yom Rishonami. So if that's the case, so even when the first day of Yom Tov is a Shabbos, you should also not wave lulav. If you're afraid that people are going to carry, what difference whether Shabbos is the first day or Shabbos is another day? So the Gemara says, Rishonat Kimli Rabbana Bebeito. So the Gemara says, but on the first day, they established this takana that everybody's going to wave the lulav in their house. It's not a problem anymore. So the Gemara says, "Hatena tefar takana, kodem takana ma'ik lemeimar." Yeah. So after the takana, you're all squared away. Before the takana, what are you going to say? Even before the takana, they were still waving on when the first day of Yom Tov was on a Shabbos, but otherwise not. Ella, the Gemara says, and I'm going to break off soon here. Ella rishon to eat them in a Torah, the gulin lo gazru b'rabanan. So the first day, everybody in the world is chayav to wave lulav. Absolutely everybody in the world. So there, the chachamim weren't goes there. The weren't goes there. He says, hanach le nau min haTorah b'gulin gazru b'hu rabanan. The other days, there's no mitzvah to take lulav outside the base of Mikdash. So there, the chachamim didn't make a gzera. Now, let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi on the eighth narrow line. El Rishon, the chashuvin and tilato, the first day is more chashuv, the field begulin chayav, the gazru be rabbanim, the begulin, the mikdash. So Chamin didn't want to make gzeira anywhere. Aval shar yamim she'inu min haTorah mikdash, the other days, that's not from the Torah, only from the mikdash, lo chashivin and tiladidu. In other words, the taking isn't so, is not so chashuv. So the Chanuma goes there, the Chumar Shabbos in the Mikdash. So we say like this, how can the Chami make a Gzeira? There was the Mitzvah Torah to take Lulav 7 days. How can the rabbis come and make a Gzeira, not take the Lulav one of the days, or uprooting a Mitzvah from the Torah? The Gemara learns that they have a Koach to say, sit and don't do this mitzvah. Now, I anticipated a question, which I don't know if you're going to ask or you were thinking of asking, but like normally there's a klal, ein shvut b'mikdash. So let's go slowly with this. So the Gemara is saying that when the first day of Yom Tov is on Shabbos, everybody's going to think lulav. When Shabbos comes on another day of the week, and this is before the Korban Bayis and Mikdash, before the Tana Rabban Yochum and Zakkai, so only the waving lulav 7 days in the base of Mikdash. But the rabbis are saying, don't wave lulav on Shabbat. Don't wave lulav on Shabbat. So whether it's base of Mikdash on Yerushalayim or the base of Mikdash, don't wave it on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim have a talk to be Oker Davar Minator, B'Shei Baal Hasid. Right, the passive not to do it. So I thought you were going to ask me, Michael, you always ask me this question. So there's a klal that the Gemara has, Ein Shvut B'Mikdash. There are no rabbinic prohibitions that are applicable for a shvut in the Mikdash. So first, the first yisod is that, I've mentioned this in the past, the Turi Evan says it's not a blanket in shvut for Mikdash. It's not, in other words, like Rav Simon says, you enter the base of Mikdash, doesn't mean like you're in a total zone. Now, when no drabbanans apply, it means that if it relates to something directly to the avoda, then that won't apply. But I was discussing today with Rabbi Mordechai Jevahari, who's in the base Medrash. So he, I don't know, on his computer, he looked up. So the Meiri says, why do we say Ein Shvut B'Mikdash? That's because, now again, this mitzvah with the lulav is given to everybody. It's not just the Kohen. Remember, the base of Mikdash is the Sameach with the Arba Minim, 7 days of Yom Tov. So it doesn't relate directly to the Avodah, like Korbano. It's just in the base of Mikdash, the Smach of Nesh and Lokesh and Shvut Yamin. But, so he said to me that the Meiri, why do we say Ein Shvut B'Mikdash? Is because the Kohanim are zrizim. The Kohanim are very zealous. Shai, you said, well, that's not losing you here. Okay, so the Kohanim are very zealous. So the Kohanim are very zealous. I'm not afraid that they're going to, like, violate a din d'oraisa because they're so careful with things. But here the Meiri says, this mitzvah is not just Kohanim. It's everybody. So obviously the klal in Shvut Mikdash does not apply. Right? And in Shvut Mikdash means if it's something that the Kohanim are doing in the avoda, it's not going to apply. But here, it applies to everybody, and the whole reason is pulled out from it. Okay, let me do one more line, that'll be it. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, again, so I'll go back to El, line 5. El, Rishon, the Yitim, and the Torah, Bikbul, Lagash, Barabanan. So the first day that it applies, even Chutz, the base of Mikdash, the Chamor, and goes there, because that's so Chashuv. Hadavlet, Nauman, the Torah, Bikbul, and Gashu, Barabanan. He says, the other days that don't exist from the Torah, the Gvulin Gazru Barabanan. So here the Gemara is jumping to a point in time after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. In other words, it gets very tricky with different times and different gzeirot, because there's no mitzvah to take lulav outside the Beis Hamikdash until Rabbi Yochum and Zaka. Then he has the gzeirot, the Gvulin. So here the Gemara is saying that on the other days that it's not min haTorah, so the Gvulin Gazru Barabanan. So the Gemara says, Ihachia idnami. So if that's the case, so today, now, we should also take it when the first day of Yom Tov is on a Shabbos, we should take a lulav. So I'll go on the answer tomorrow. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? All right. So I think it's going to be, let me end the recording. One second, I'll say goodbye to everybody.